So what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Cut Light and Smoke podcast. I know it's probably going to be a little bit weird seeing us pop up here recently after, you know, everything that's been going on, but got Bradley Reith's sister Carrie here with me today, and she had a really good idea for us to come on to a podcast and kind of discuss a topic. But before we get into that topic, so me and Bradley would use the podcast times as kind of a time to smoke cigars that we wouldn't normally want to smoke throughout the day. Not because for any particular reason other than this was a really good time for us to smoke test blends and have conversations about them and smoke them without really being interrupted. So I have a newer cigar company that has been wanting us to bring in their cigar, and I would like you to smoke one with me.
Oh, okay. Well, clearly it's a Connecticut.
It is. That is the Villiger. I think they call it the Creme.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Yeah, and then I have one called the La Flor de Yenclan. I have no clue how you say it. I'll show you the wrapper. But yeah, so they came in and met with us and wanted us to smoke through some of their stuff. So
there's this one. Can you see it? Hopefully you can see it.
Be interested to see what you think about that while we talk about the topic. So,
well, and do you have a straight cut? Because I only see V cuts.
There's a straight cut on that double cutter right there from Xyphe.
Oh,
yeah. What? Brad loved those. They're super cool.
Oh, it's not either or, it's and.
Yeah, so that one doesn't like to stay closed.
Oh, clearly.
So, okay. But the other side, you have a straight cut, and it also has a punch on the end. It's pretty cool.
Oh. Oh, and it's just bounce up and cut.
Yes. Nice.
What?
Yeah, that one's cool. All
right.
That one is pretty neat.
There we go.
So,
get that out of there.
So why don't you share with everybody?
Sorry.
It's okay. Everybody's used to Bradley breaking stuff too. So why don't you share with everybody what your idea was for us to do this podcast? Because I thought it was a really good idea.
Yeah, thank you. Just so you all know, I have to tell you, I taped a picture of Bradley and my sister. We'll show you that picture. We'll insert it so you can see it. Bradley and my sister, Christy, on the bottom of the camera. So we look at the camera instead of the screen next to it. So we're actually looking at Bradley while we're filming this.
He's also making a very interesting face, which I told Carrie actually makes me not want to look at the camera.
It's a classic Bradley face, I would say.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, mouth wide open, like almost like he's screaming at us, which is fantastic.
Super great.
Wouldn't have it any other way. But what I told Justin, the topic that I wanted to talk about was how we have been dealing with Brad's death. And
well, considering his last podcast was how men deal with death, you kind of brought up the thing of like, well, okay, yeah, how do men deal with death? Thanks for sharing that with us, Bradley. But how's the family?
Right.
How are we dealing with Bradley's death?
Right. And he had a huge following of men, and he had a huge... Well, he was a huge
There's a
fan.
Reason he made the right. joke that he didn't need any more friends.
Right. But also, there was a huge following of women, too.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of women in his life. His sister, his
two sisters, two daughters.
His wife. There's a lot of, and all of the men that were in his core group are all married.
Yeah, they got wives, too. Most of them, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of women who are dealing with his death. And so I just wanted to cover that.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, there's a lot of people who may listen to this, may hear this podcast randomly, may not even smoke cigars. And just because they have dealt with the death or are dealing with the death, they click on this podcast because they want to know how to deal with the death.
Yeah.
So I want to cover it for all of those basis, honestly. So that's why we want to talk about it specifically, how we've been dealing with Brad's death, and then go into all those other things as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because you and I both are 100% and have been 100% affected by this and will continue to be. And we've gone through, we've experienced his death in different ways, both of us, because me being his sister.
Yeah.
And you being like his little brother.
Mm-hmm.
So we've mourned in different ways. And
it's some ways it's just one day where your body crashes and you sleep for like 6 hours straight in a right. in a couch with cats.
Right, right. And I will can you pass me that lighter, by the way? Do I have one over here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That one we dropped in so we were on an excursion at Lake Pleasant one time, probably like 2.5-3 years ago. And Bradley dropped that in the lake and it's worked ever since.
Ah, so it's essentially his favorite lighter.
That's the
it can't be destroyed.
That's the walking on water lighter.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
The Peter Jesus lighter.
Yeah. yeah.
I gotcha.
Something like that.
Yeah. Not gonna sink. Okay, so this is off the jump. Pretty good.
Okay.
It's a little spicier than I like, but
okay.
You know me.
Let's see if it might lighten up.
Right. I'm not a super spicy girl, but again, like you said, it might lighten up. But smooth and creamy.
Very.
Off the jump.
I remember it being pretty smooth.
Yeah. But so I want to share what happened when we found out, when I found out, not we. Because we all had different reactions.
I heard what happened when you found out. Because I was on the phone with your mom. Mm. And I could hear in the background.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm, yeah. You were on the phone with mom.
I was, yeah.
Dad called my sister and I together. And... he had both of us on the phone. I knew Brad had been in an accident because Justin had called me mm-hmm. and said Brad was in a motorcycle accident. They were rushing him to the hospital. And everything in my body was like, oh, so they're going to call me and update me and tell me that he broke his leg, that he broke his arm, you know, because he's Superman.
That makes two of us. I was like, dang right. it, he's going to be hobbling around here again right. like he was when his knee was hurting.
100%. Like, he's Superman. That's all that's going to happen. So when Dad was calling me, that was my expectation. And so Dad called me, and I said, hey, Dad. He said, hold on, I have your sister. And then he merged the calls, and he said, girls? And I said, yeah. And he said, Brad didn't make it. And you hear things like that.
It's the same verbiage your mom used.
Yeah. You hear it. And it doesn't make sense to you. It's like you hear words.
Mm-hmm.
You totally understand the words. You don't understand the words, though. It's like, no, 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 no. You didn't hear it right. Call the hospital back. And I remember stopping and going, wait, what? Wait, what? And he said it again. And time stopped. Time completely stopped. And I wailed. I screamed, and that's what Justin heard.
Yep.
And I went from, because I work from home now.
That hit me more than anything in that moment, like hearing it from Mama, because even Mama was being really strong at that time when she told me, and I could hear her being sad.
Yeah.
But in that moment of her saying, Justin, you know, she used the exact same words. He didn't make it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm like, are you serious, Mama? She was like, yeah, Justin, I'm serious. And it wasn't until I heard
me scream.
In the background that I knew that, like,
it was real.
The Berlin Wall just came down.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, in a bad way.
Yeah. It was an experience that I didn't even know what was happening. Like, I didn't, it's kind of strange because it felt so unreal.
Yeah, it was very almost out of body.
Out
like
of body.
Even me getting the picture of the bike and running down the street and talking to the officer and getting back to the shop is all just like
surreal.
It seems like it was a 10-second 100-meter race and it was done.
Yeah. 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 It's all so surreal. And I remember standing up and walking to my bedroom and collapsing on my bed and just sobbing and screaming. And then I collapsed on my dining room floor and I was screaming. And because it was just, again, 1 second to the next, 1 second to the next. He was here, he was gone. And I remember standing up. And a lot of people don't know, I actually live in North Carolina now. And I asked Dad, I said, what do we do? What do we do now? What do we do? And Dad was so strong. Dad was so, so strong. And because he had me and my sister on the phone. And my sister hung up and she had to leave work. Her boss was amazing, held on to her, prayed with her, loved on her, made sure that she was okay to drive home. And Dad said to me, go to Jackie, who's my next door neighbor, and she's amazing, wonderful friend of mine. And I don't even really remember leaving my house and walking over to my next door neighbor. And I just knocked on her door sobbing. And Jackie was just there holding on to me, walked me home, was with me. And for the next 2 days, nothing could happen. I was just, I was gone. I was not in my body. I was just, it was just complete sorrow in a way I couldn't explain.
And it's so crazy because you said at the beginning, very different experiences in how we had to deal with that initially, right? Like my reaction was we closed the shop that Tuesday. I went home and just crashed out. I mean, my wife came home and it was just, you know, you're still trying to process everything. Your body's just like, you don't know what to think about anything yet. Mm-hmm. And then for me, the next like 3 to 5 days was just like, get back to the shop and get back to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I could do. It's all I could think about doing.
Right. Right. But this is the difference. And this is what kind of had to be told to me later and hit me later. I've never known my life without Brad.
Yeah. That was crazy. It was you were on the phone with somebody.
Yeah.
A customer or something.
No, no.
Else. Yeah.
Yeah. It was another woman. And she asked me because it's a deal that I have going. And she asked me, she said, is he older than you? And I said, yeah. And she said, so you've never known life without him.
Mm.
And that hit me because I didn't even realize it from that perspective.
Yeah.
My sister and I have never known life without our brother.
Yeah, good or bad.
Right. Well, not or, good and bad.
Yeah.
And for the past 5 years, I've had the good and bad benefit of working with him directly. And I've loved every minute of it, honestly, the good and the bad, because we've gotten to develop our relationship. And it's been amazing. And that was gone in an instant. And you've known life without my brother. You guys have, your relationship started about 5 years ago.
Yeah, about four, I'd say. Yeah.
Right.
Maybe a little over, yeah.
So that's why people have different experiences.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But the sorrow is very, very real. And the mourning is very real. And I remember that it was told to me that he did this podcast about death, his last podcast. And it was sent to me. And it was the day after. I didn't sleep at all Tuesday night at all.
Yeah. I don't know anybody that did.
Right. And Wednesday I was laying in bed. And I was just laying around all Tuesday, all Wednesday. And I turned on that podcast and was listening to his advice on how to deal with death out of my brother's mouth, hearing his voice, watching his face, looking at his crooked beard. And I fell asleep for the first time. I finally got to fall asleep because I was listening to his voice. And it was beautiful in its own way. And
how are you gonna write your own poem before you ride out?
Right. I mean, it was epic. Right?
What they call it, like a swan song?
Yeah. Yeah. And he taught me a lot in that podcast of how to deal with it. And so by Thursday, I was able to shower, move, eat barely anything. I don't think for the first week I ate really anything, but I think that was happening to everybody. We all had to be reminded to actually eat food. We all actually had to be reminded to shower, to function. And my sister was reading C.S. Lewis's book on grief when he wrote about losing his wife. And she was sharing with me different parts of that book. And that was one of the things, like, you just forget to function. And he had mentioned something about, like, why would I even shave? There's no purpose to shave. And it was like, yeah, you think like that. There's no purpose to do this. There's no reason to do this. There's no reason to move forward. And then we all had to get out here. We all had to come here for not only the funeral, but we have a business. This dream of Brad's that we're all involved in. And we had to figure it out. And we all had to come together as a family to figure it out. And that's what we've been doing. And it's been the most amazing journey, because I've seen God in every single step. Before I even left North Carolina to come here, I remember I sat down and I prayed and I said, Lord, and let me give you a little bit of context here. I came out of my mama the most fiercely independent person on this planet. Like, I came out like, thanks for having me. I'll see you later. I'm gone. I've really had a hard time depending on God. And that's been my struggle a lot in my walk with him. And when this happened, I sat down sobbing and I said, I need you more than I've ever known. And I'm completely dependent right now. I've never known this kind of dependence, because I can't even breathe. I can't function. I don't want to function. And I need you to tell me where to step, how to step, what to say, how to say it. Anything and everything, I need you. And I've seen his grace and his mercy and his love in literally every single step of this trip. And it's been mind-blowing. I mean, you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you sit back in awe almost.
I just smile. You know, like, it's... Well, it's like when it's so amazing, like even Jamie, Brad's wife, was like super, like her first thought was me in the shop and like making sure that I wasn't here being responsible for telling everybody and you know, kind of carrying that weight and having to deal with that. And the only thing I could say back with a smile on my face was that's the biggest blessing that you can get, is to share that love and to share that grief with each and every person that he made an impact on, that comes back through that door every week, every day, whatever, just to get that again, or just to say thank you, or just to say hi because of the appreciation that's there.
And to mourn with them.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Like that, if anything, that's one of the biggest blessings that I could have gotten out of this experience is, one, all it does is double, if not triple, validate what we do here. Mm-hmm. All of us. Everything from me to you to what he did to, especially what he did, to the customers that continue to come in here and who have made life changes that have made other people's lives better as a result of that. So, you can't really be mad. You'd be a little sad, but to me, that's a blessing. And it made my heart really full to hear, just like all the comments that people have been making on various areas that, you know, since things have happened, emails and comments, and it's just been, man, it just wants you to make you push even harder to keep living that dream out for him.
I completely agree. Like, I 100% ditto that. Yeah. And I actually told one of the women in my Bible study before I left, because she came in, came down to my house and brought me a gift from my women in my Bible study before I left, and was just loving on me.
Yeah.
Before, and she said, "How are you doing? Are you okay?" And, you know, just checking on me. And I said, "Honestly, it's been unreal. Like, the pain is real, but every time, and this is what I love about when you read the Bible, there are certain parts that say, 'But God.'" And if you look for the "but God," you'll be so amazed, because it's when God shows up and shows out. And there have been so many "but gods."
But then God came in the storm and spoke. Yeah, 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 yeah.
"But God parted the sea." I mean, it's like, oh, wow, really? "But God." And I told her, I said, every time the pain starts to set in and my sorrow starts to get overwhelming, a tsunami of love hits me.
Mm.
And she smiled so big, and she was like, "I love that you said it like that, because it made it very visual for her." And I said, "I feel like I'm standing on a beach and watching this huge tsunami come at me every time. And whether it's from family and friends, whether it's from people reaching out on social media, whether it's from our customers, it doesn't even matter where it's coming from. It's coming, and it's coming in tsunami form. It is coming for real, and it has not stopped." And I say that in the best possible way, because it has helped heal, and it has helped comfort. It is amazing to feel these huge tsunamis of love just crash on us and and not completely take away the pain, but ease the pain. It's like when you're sad and someone comes up and gives you a big old bear hug, like Brad would do. Mm. It just makes the pain easier to deal with, you know? And that's what y'all have been doing.
It's, there's not really, especially, you know, right now, ask me again in a few months, right? Like,
yeah.
The best way that I could say that I've been able to kind of deal with things, just in general day to day, I think you say it in a really good way, about waves, because just like the love comes in waves, so does the sadness, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
And they're not necessarily one after another, and they're not necessarily, the sadness at this point isn't bigger than the love waves, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, I think the work that you do and the good that you put into this world definitely echoes for eternity, because the reason that we're in such a great place when we probably shouldn't be is because of all the work that Bradley did and all the people that he surrounded himself and us with to be there in the event that something like this happens. Like, man, when they say it takes a village,
yeah,
and when you look at, like, you know, you go back to like how old Native American tribes used to take care of each other and things like that. And you just, you, well, it makes sense. That, why?
I mean, that's what the Bible talks about. Like yeah. you, and that's essentially what the church is supposed to do, regardless of whether it's, whether all of them or none of them or some of them are doing it now. That's the old school style yeah. of the church.
It's like they got too big to know everybody that's there, so you don't feel the same way or something. It's weird.
Even if they're too big, I mean, they're still really, like, I can tell you 100% my church in North Carolina, they've been taking care of me. They've been reaching out to me and taking care of me in any way they possibly can.
That's awesome.
Which is, and honestly, it took me a long time to find that.
Yeah.
And
but yeah, it did.
But they're out there. And I think that, I say old school. Old school churches, because like back in the day, if you needed food, if you needed anything, it was a community. It yeah. was always a community. And that's like if somebody needed, you know, if you needed someone to watch your kids, the community was set. If you needed someone, like it was always set within the basically the basis of the church.
Yeah.
And the church was kind of like the community. But it was also, whether it was a church or not, it was their neighborhoods were yeah. communities.
Yeah.
Like when I was growing up, we used to get our butt beat by our neighbors if we were acting wrong, and my mom and dad gave them full permission.
You get home and they're like, you're like, they beat me. They call the neighbors. What'd they do?
Right. Okay. Oh, yep.
Don't you come over here
you
telling me.
You deserved it, right? Yeah.
You know,
and
damn
that wasn't
right.
that wasn't even in the context of the church. That was neighborhoods. Yeah. And neighbors and being neighborly. And honestly, that is biblical. You're supposed to be that way. So mm-hmm. even in that context, like I came out here. I called my girls. I called my tribe
yep.
when everything happened. And
Carrie's got little pockets of people just all over the place. My mom's in like Illinois. She's like, call my mom.
Right. Honestly, like when everything went down, I called all my girls here. And I was like, this just happened. And they all know Brad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, literally all of them like, what do you need? What is it? Like every single one of them. I have this. I have this. I have this. People can stay here. People can stay here. All my family in Ohio was like, we don't know where we're staying. We don't know what we're doing. All my girls were like.
Doors flew
here,
open.
Here. I got this.
Doors flew open.
You need
open.
A car? I got a car. You need this? I got this. And that's, again, it's not necessary. And none of these girls, I didn't meet any of these girls in the context of the church.
Mm.
We are tribe because of our hearts. We are tribe because of our connection and our love and our love for each other and our commitment and our loyalty to each other. We do have a spiritual bond too, but that's not how we met. We didn't meet in the church.
Mm.
We met because of our love and our loyalty in friendship and our commonality in you do right by each other. Like
take care of one another.
Take care of one another.
And life will take care of itself.
Exactly. So if you're someone who's out there who feels alone, feels like you can't go through life, you don't have any friends, you don't have, like, you're just wanting to, like, you have a lot on your plate, you have a lot on your shoulders, and you just don't have any friends, you don't have it, you have to be a friend. To have friends, you have to be a friend to make a friend. You can't just assume that really great friends are going to fall into your lap and you don't first be that great friend. And I have to say, I have some of the most amazing women that surround me because they all know that in a heartbeat, if any one of them needed anything, I'm 1000% there. Mm. I will always be that friend to them. Because I also know that they will always be that friend to me.
Yep.
I mean, they literally have opened up their home. They've given me a car to drive. Even one of them made the shirt that I wore to Brad's funeral that said, yes, I am Brad Reese's sister, for me and my sister. I mean, they were ready to do anything and everything. Feed me, love on me, care for me, rub my feet until I fell asleep. Like, you be that friend. You show that love does return. And that's one thing that Bradley showed. And that's one thing that Bradley did, is that you pour out love and love comes back.
I was going to make a joke to you a minute ago, but you were in a good, you're in a good run there. I didn't want to jump you. But I was going to say, I kind of disagree with you because Bradley kind of fell into everybody's lap on their phones and became a nice friend.
I mean, Santa you're
Claus,
not wrong.
Santa Claus doesn't have to come down a chimney.
I mean, right? I do have his red sweater here.
I just, you know, it's kind of another way that I've been dealing with it. Like the first day when I went home on Tuesday and my wife wasn't home yet, I kind of just went out into my backyard and just kind of like talked to myself a little bit and kind of like I called it like my Job moment where I kind of looked up at God and I'm like, look up at the sky and you're just like, really, God?
Why?
Is there really that big? Not even why. Just is there really that big of a spiritual war going on that you need to take this guy right now to throw lightning and thunder for you? Because he's going to throw lightning and thunder. He's going to throw that. Trust me. No problem. That dude's going to run through walls. But that's kind of the way that I like. You know, that's another way that I could look at it from a different angle and a different lens.
Side.
That, you know, there's just a spiritual war going on right now that they needed somebody that is undoubtedly going to stand in the front lines and fight.
Oh, he would try. He would definitely try.
Well, I mean, his knees and stuff are going to be better now. You know, he's going to be,
he's
gonna
not
going
to have knees.
He's going to be back to, he could be back to Big Brad, man. He's going to be back to his old school days.
Yeah.
But that's one way that I like to deal with it, man. I look at it and I think about it, you know, from a spiritual concept. And I haven't really watched that How Men Deal with Death episode back yet. It's gonna be hard for me.
Yeah.
But he said one thing in there about oh man, I lost it now. I have hope.
Yeah.
Right. And if that story makes me more hopeful that he's up there doing something bigger than I'll ever understand.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to hold on to it.
Well, and that's the thing is that when someone dies as a Christian, that's what he was saying. We don't mourn as someone without hope. We mourn as those with hope because we know where they are.
And we know we're going to see them again.
Exactly. And we do know we're going to see them. I have complete hope I'm going to see my brother again. But it's important that we mourn. And that's the difference, is that there are so many people out there who don't have hope. They don't have that hope that they will see their loved one again. And it's a sad reality, because you don't want to, you always want someone to have that hope, have that love, have that hope in Christ, because you know, I know what it's like not to have it. I know what that feeling is. I've been there. I had a life prior, absolutely. And it feels empty. It feels like the sorrow will never end. It feels like the tears will never dry up. But when you do have that hope, it feels like, okay, I have something to look forward to. And in the meantime, I got work to do. And that's another thing that Brad said on the podcast, is you do absolutely need to take time to mourn. You absolutely need to make sure that you take time to cry, take time to process, take that time and let God heal that mourning, heal that sorrow. But there's also a time to get back to work. Make sure that you are moving forward, because there's so many people that get stuck in the sorrow and they can't move forward in their life. And that's not healthy either. And if you're in that place, if that's who you are today, if you feel so stuck because you lost someone that you love, just know that there are so many resources. There are so many people out there. There are so many people that can help you. And ultimately, the best resource clearly is Christ, but there are people out there to help you work through that and find, not only find Christ if you don't already know him, if you do, to help you process through that pain, that sorrow, and help you get back to working, help you get back to living, because your loved one would not want you to stay in that pain. And they would want you to live the life that you lived with them, live the life that you have, and not stay stuck. So I hope that that's an encouragement for someone, because I know that, like, that's been an encouragement for me. I still talk to my brother all the time, as if he's still right here annoying me. And he annoyed me all the time, as you very, very well know. And I sit back at his desk right now and I'm like, oh, brother, you are so filthy.
I was literally like the middle brother that just got stuck between the two. And I'm always like, look, you're going to have to go deal with her, because I'm not doing it. This is your problem. I'm not the middle man here, damn it. You freaking call her and do it, damn. I'm not doing it. You put me in the middle of this shit.
And now you have to deal with me.
Oh, man.
You lucky brother.
But it's different. It's different if I got to deal with you because of my own problems I cause. Right. I ain't dealing with you because of his problems.
Right.
That's a different story.
But I tell you, it has, it, like, knowing that, like, I have, there is a time of, you know, a time to mourn.
Yeah.
And a time to heal and a time to move on and a time. It doesn't mean that I'm moving on from my brother. It doesn't mean that I forget him. By any means, there's no way that I would ever forget my brother. If anything, I'm literally making sure his dream continues. So I can't forget him. And I love that. Like, the last thing that I would do, even though I'm not, because I actually had this conversation with a girlfriend of mine the other day when we went to lunch. I said, I feel kind of strange because I'm not crying as much as other people are crying. Or I don't feel visibly sad. I said, I'm just working and going. And she was like, no, you're doing what you need to do.
Yep.
And last night, my girlfriend Mary, she literally gave me like pep talk of all pep talks. It was like, I just was missing the pom-poms. It was like the best pep talk. And it just spoke directly to my soul. And it was something Brad would have said, honestly, like, no, you did what you needed to do. You mourned, you did everything you needed to do. Now you need to go and hustle and get to work. And it was awesome. And I know that the waves are going to come, because they still do. Like, driving up here, tears started to flow. And it's just different, like, times when I'm listening to different things. And I haven't gotten saddle up your horses out of my head this whole time. Like, since Saturday, it keeps running in my head, and I blame my brother. But I think it's really, really important that when you're healing, to be okay with moving forward, to give yourself grace and permission to move forward. And know that that's a healthy thing. It's not a bad thing. You're not forgetting your loved one. You're not forgetting his memory or her memory. You're honoring them, if anything.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing here. That's why we're making this podcast today.
Yeah.
How to deal with death. How to deal with Bradley's death. How we've dealt with it.
Yep. And how, and I couldn't tell you how it's going to be dealt with, you know, moving forward, but. You know, I can tell you that, you know, and I kind of wanted to say this too, and we kind of talked about this yesterday. If it seems weird to people out there that we're not super responsive to all the amazing things that are being said, or even all the amazing support that's being offered, it's not that we don't want it. It's just that, like, again, Brad's works were so big that there are so many people here right now within arm's reach that have done over and beyond the amount of help that we can get, to the point of, like, We've even had to tell some people in the circle, like, hey, it's okay. Take a couple steps back. We're all right. Quit bringing food to the house. My fridge isn't, I can't fit any more food in the, you know,
we'll
Jamie was dumping food here.
Again, tsunami,
yes,
right?
Exactly. It's the best way to describe it. Yeah. So it's not that we're not like appreciative or don't want support from people or love to hear that everybody wants to help. It's just that we are overwhelmed and overly blessed with incredible amounts of people that were blessed by Bradley.
Yeah, it's been beautifully and gratefully overwhelmed. But at the same time, it can make us super emotional reading certain things. And I actually told a very, very sweet man who sent me a very wonderful story.
Is it Martin?
Yeah.
Yeah, Martin's a good dude. I like Martin.
Yeah, very, very sweet.
All
man.
The way out in Wales.
Yeah, Wales. Yeah. And Brad said that he was whaling.
Dude. Oh, Martin loved
goodness.
That, dude.
Yeah. He's so ridiculous.
He's a whaling.
Yeah, I'm whaling. No, he's not. God love Brad. Oh, my goodness. And I'm looking at his picture right now.
Oh,
so ridiculous.
Boys ate up.
but he sent me a wonderful, beautiful story. And as I'm reading it, and again, it's this very, very sweet story, and I'm so glad he shared. But when reading things like that, it makes me emotional. I can't read certain things right now. And it may take us a while to, it may take us being Brad's family.
Yeah.
And very, very close friends. Even though you guys are sharing and sending in these emails and sending in messages, and we want them, send them, please. I'm actually saving them.
Mm-hmm.
Please know that I am saving them. When it gets to the time that we're able to read them, and we will, we absolutely will, when it's not so emotional, when it gets to the point that we can read them without sobbing, we will sit down collectively and we will read them. But if you, like Dustin said, if you don't hear back from us, it's not because we didn't read it, we don't care or anything like that. It's just, it's really raw.
And there's a lot of comments.
A lot of them. But that's why we do have the Zeal Team 6 Facebook group.
And Instagram page. Yep.
And like, you can comment on the group, and there's other customers that are in there that are feeling what you're feeling. So please join that group and just throw all your love in there and you know, commiserate with the other customers and love on them and let them love on you. And send us, you can send all those stories and emails to info@zealcigars.com. And I absolutely am collecting all of them. And like I said, when we get to that point where we can read them, we absolutely will. And we're going to be doing some legacy things coming up, forthcoming, to honor Brad's legacy. So that's going to be coming up in the future. So stay tuned, because we're working on that with our team right now. We're getting all that together. So that's going to be coming. So we have things in the works, but we can't, you know, we're taking our time. We're still mourning. We have it together and we can do things like this.
Mm-hmm.
But even in things like this, we have to pause. We have to take deep breaths. We have to edit certain things out. So just,
I still got customers coming in, you know, that don't know yet. And you know, each time you got to relive that again a little bit. And, but each time again, you get that blessing back of why those people are upset and sad to hear that. And why some random person that just comes in and smokes cigars is standing in your doorway with waterfalls running down their eyes over a guy that they said they met maybe around a total of 20 hours in their lifetime.
Yeah. Or even just once.
Just once.
Yeah.
Parents. I've had parents of people that come in here that have been like, you know, you've impacted my son so much that I had to come in and meet you. And one lady got to meet Brad that way because she was so happy.
So amazing.
Man, it's just, that's how we're getting through it. That's
it's honestly,
that's how
love.
We're getting through it.
It's the tsunamis of love that are getting us through it. It's
our family, our circles, just it all, just all of it, man. man. All of you guys, even.
And most of all, God. Yeah. 100%. He is holding us up. And that's one of the things that
even to the point where it looks like Jesus is supposed to be smoking a cigar, but I like to think that Brad probably took it out of his hand.
right? And there, as many of you know, the last podcast that I was on, we talked about my epilepsy.
I was going to ask you before we started, I was like, I think you've been on a podcast, not like one that you just like snuck in and sat in on because you happened to be in the shop, but I was going to say, I felt like there was one that you were actually on and I couldn't remember what it was. So I'm glad you said that.
It was about my epilepsy and bringing awareness to epilepsy. And I've had so many people like call me and ask me, are you okay? Are you getting enough sleep and things like that? Because honestly, and for people who are, you know, dealing with family members who have, you know, had very traumatic experiences, whether it's a death, whether it's, you know, anything that's traumatic, because it could, there could be any life experience is traumatic, whether it's moving across country, whether it's, you know, losing a job, you know, it could be anything.
Anything right now.
And you have a disease, like I have an incurable, invisible disease. And you have something that's triggered by a traumatic disease. You have to give yourself a lot of grace, and you have to take care of yourself. And if you run yourself ragged, you will hurt yourself first. And you can't help anybody do anything if you hurt yourself. Mm. So you have to take care of yourself, and that's not a selfish thing. Taking care of you, it's just like being on an airplane and the mask drop and they say, put yours on first before you help anybody else. It's not selfish to put your mask on first, because if you don't, you'll die and you can't help anybody else. So you have to take care of yourself, especially during traumatic times or very, very stressful times. You have to make sure you're taking care of yourself. So while everybody is calling me, are you okay? Are you all right? Because they don't want me to have a seizure during all this. And all of this will easily trigger a seizure, easily. And I can only give praise to God for the fact that my health is wonderful. He is holding me together and holding me up. And I have amazing prayer warriors. They have asked me, they've texted me, how can I pray for you? And I literally, it's my health, my health and my sleep, just my health and my sleep. Just that, just make sure that God knows that that's the only important thing right now. And I feel great. God is awesome. Everything is good with me, which is fantastic. So I can keep going and I can keep working and I can keep doing everything that I need to do for the business, which is only a blessing. So I hope that encourages people out there as well. Like if you feel like you can't give anymore, but you need to give more in whatever you're going through in your life, take care of yourself. It's important. It's super important. And the women in my life have taught me that. And Jamie, Brad's wife, she taught me that a lot. Mm. A lot. She is, she actually taught me that before my core women's group here taught me that. She has been the one who has taught me that the most in my life.
Wow.
Yeah, she's amazing. Absolutely amazing at that. And I'm so grateful because she's with all of this going on. She's been so strong. And I know that number one, it's her faith.
Absolutely. The hope.
Yeah. The hope, the faith in Christ holding her together, the hope that all of us around her, her group, her community. But she also takes really good care. Like she rests a lot. She walks, she takes her time to herself.
Yep.
It's very, very important. So hopefully that's encouragement to someone out there who may be going through some stressful times. So, you know, you have to balance everything. Life is definitely a balance. And hard times can get you out of balance. And don't stay in that hard time. Don't let it soak you up and hold you in it. Make sure you get out of it. Make sure you talk to someone that you trust. That's one thing that Brad said in the last podcast was make sure you open up and be vulnerable with someone who's safe in your life.
And, you know, I think another part of that is if you notice somebody else needs that, it's your responsibility to say something, right? And, you know,
that's a good point.
That happened with us on Monday. You know, Monday morning, I you know, sent you a message early, like probably like 7 or something. And I was like, hey, I'm just letting you know, I'm a little slow getting going today. Like, I had panic attacks. I was throwing up. It was like everything from the last 2 weeks from me not stopping had just hit me like a ton of bricks. And all you said was, we're here. Take time. You need it. And for me, that's really hard to hear because I'm kind of stubborn. I'm hard on myself. And, you know, you have expectations from yourself that you want to exceed as well, right? And I'm one of my worst critics at all the time. And when you have somebody that can confidently look at you and say, I got you today. Let me do this for you today. It's hard to accept sometimes, you know, because, you know, you got egos and pride and whatever else is in your way, insecurities, whatever, you know, put it on the table. But it's also your responsibility if you're in somebody's circle and they're hurting that you also reach out to them and make sure that they take care of themselves, because I probably still would have came in and worked that day and tried to get through it. And I wouldn't have got that 5 hours of sleep that I crashed out on the couch with the cats.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I thank you for that. And I think that if other people help other people with that too, they're going to thank you for that as well. So.
Yeah, no, that's a good word. As Brad would say, that's a good word.
That's a
good word, Justin. That's a good word. It's true though, because pride is super.
Yep.
And especially with men, God love you guys. And women, I'm not going to, you know, say that we don't suffer with that or we don't have pride that, you know, creeps up and, you know, keeps us from being honest and vulnerable, because we do. But I think more so than women, men suffer with pride. But yeah, that's so true. And checking on people.
Yeah.
And just saying, hey.
Yeah, like it's easy to look down on yourself, right? Because you're like I wanted to look down on myself for not being at that door the next day and being that strong guardian that I'm supposed to be.
And you thought you were weak.
I did.
Yeah. And that's the last thing you were. The last thing you were. You were hurting and you were healing, and that's good.
So, but that's why it's important that if you see somebody that needs it, sometimes you got to force them to take it.
Yeah.
So.
And allow them, like, be not just be vulnerable, but allow them that safe space that Brad was talking about. Be that safe space for them. Allow them to cry. Allow them to be vulnerable. And when they are vulnerable, don't make fun of them. Don't give them a reason not to be vulnerable again. And I think that sometimes we get sarcastic, or sometimes we'll meet vulnerability with our lack of vulnerability. And it shows up with sarcasm sometimes, or our insecurities, because we don't know how. A lot of times we'll hit vulnerability with jokes or something like that, because a lot of times people don't know how to accept vulnerability because it's not familiar.
I will make awkward jokes in uncomfortable situations.
Yeah. A lot of people do, honestly. A lot of people do. But it also makes an uncomfortable situation, and it makes people not want to come back with the vulnerability again.
Yeah.
So even though vulnerability may make you uncomfortable, sit in it. Even if you have to sit in silence and just hold on to someone's hand and just rub it like, I got you. I may not know what to say. I'm here. You know, even if it's just saying, I'm here. Those are two little words. If you need to make it three, I am here.
I got you.
Yeah, I got you. Just letting someone know that without making an awkward joke or without making it, you know, feel tense. Just practicing that openness, that safe space, and that vulnerability. And, you know, hopefully that connection, if it's not already there, forms.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're allowing that person to be vulnerable. And then hopefully if that needs to be reciprocated, it'll be reciprocated in the future. But it's super important not to meet vulnerability with awkwardness. Mm-hmm. But love and safeness and encouragement.
Grace, yep.
And grace, yeah. 100%. That's a good word, Justin. Brad used to say that all the time. It's a good word.
I swear there's going to have to be two t-shirts made. One with him thumbs and going, it's a great stick. And then one of them, it's a good word.
All the time. That's a good word, sis.
With his glasses on, though. It's got to be one.
Yeah, it's a good word, sis.
I thought there was like a pair of white ones around here somewhere that he used to wear.
Oh, mom took them.
Oh, I was going to put them on one time and just be like, oh.
Mom was like,
do I look cooler with my glasses on?
She'll never wear them. She'll never wear them. She just wanted them.
I should have her send them with Lynn one time and put them on.
That was a funny little story. So when I was coming from North Carolina to Arizona, when I left North Carolina, it was raining. And so when I packed everything up, and I couldn't, my brain was not in my head. And I love my tribe. And one of my tribes, or I have a bunch of friends still in Ohio, and they loved on me so much. And one of them, yeah, right?
We got an
Ohio crew.
Ohio.
A bunch of them sent tons of love to me. And one of my girls, Kelly, God love her. I had written up a list the day before I needed to leave of what to do, right?
Okay.
Before I leave. None of it. None of it was done. None of it. And it was like probably 9 o'clock at night. And I was leaving the next morning. And she called and she was like, how much of your list is done? And I was like, none. I've been so ADD all day. She was like, send me a picture of your list. She sat on the phone with me for 4 hours. She was like, okay, clean the kitchen. Okay, we're cleaning literally everything on the list.
I don't hear no pots and pans dinging.
Right, everything on the list. She was in my ear the whole time, checking things off, making me do it. And then pack was on it. And I was like, Kelly, I don't know what to pack. I don't want to go on this trip. This is not a trip. And I'm crying. And she was like, okay. She literally was like, this is what I want you to do. And she told me what to pack, like every single thing. And there's no way I could have done any packing at all
without the bird chirp,
without Kelly in my ear. And so I got on the plane. I was crying through the airport because I was like, this isn't a flight I want to take. And got, again, God's grace throughout the whole thing. The TSA people, the guy who kind of waves you through, mm-hmm. that little thing where you have to stand like this, right?
I just like to think they want nude pictures of me.
Yeah. He was like, he saw me. He was like, well, you look devastated. And I was like, and I thought that I was strong by that point. And I was like, well, I am, sir. I am. And I'm standing there and I did not stand right. So I had to go back through. But when I started to come out, I grabbed his side. I like grabbed his side like this because I couldn't.
Crazy lady.
No, I couldn't stand.
Oh.
Like I was so weak. And he was like, I got you.
Oh.
I got you. And I was like.
That's good. I was thinking he was going to freak out that somebody grabbed him.
No, this is North Carolina. Everybody is so sweet. Yeah. So he had to put me back in and I had to do the thing. And then they had to pat me down because of my VNS system.
Oh,
they
always yep.
But it was a woman. And when I got to her, I'm full on. Like, I can't hide my devastation or my tears at that point. And she was like, are you okay, baby? And I was like, no, ma'am, this is not a flight I want to take. And she was, I can't even make this up. This is how.
Are
this,
you with somebody you're not supposed to be with?
No, this is how great God is, right? She grabbed me and she was like, but God is mighty.
Oh, man.
And I was like, oh, Lord. I tell you, the second the pain comes, tsunamis.
I was supposed to come through this
tsunamis
aisle.
Tsunamis of love coming at me. She grabbed me and I hugged her so tight. She was like, he is on the throne. He is so mighty. And I was like, you are so right, ma'am. You are so right. And I'm just hugging her. The one, and I'm telling you all this because, again, every, and even the flight attendant on my flight, because I asked her for tissues and she got real close. She was like, what's going on, baby? And again, North Carolina, everybody, what's happening, honey?
Honey,
what is going on? And I
come
told
on, you
her,
could tell, you could right, tell Aunt Clara.
Right. Well, her name was Mary.
Okay.
So, she got the tissue, hugging me, loving on me, checking on me throughout the flight. I was like, she was on me.
Dang.
I tell you, God was so gracious. And when I got here, again, the packing was absolutely crazy, and it was raining when I left North Carolina. When I landed in Arizona, first thing I realized that I forgot one thing. When I came to the state of sunshine, I forgot my sunglasses. Of all the things to forget, I forgot my sunglasses. And I was like, oh, man, I'm going to need to run by TJ Maxx or something. Well, the first place we went to was my, you know, sister-in-law's house and see her and the kids. Then we had to come to the shop. Brad's sunglasses were back on his desk. And I was like, oh, brother, you taking care of me? So got them all cleaned up. And I've been wearing Brad's sunglasses this whole time. And they're mine. I'm taking them with me. And I love that I have, this whole time I've had my brother's sunglasses. And I love that that was the one thing I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the one thing that I saw right there, and it was like, yep, I'm glad I forgot my sunglasses, because I wouldn't have even noticed to pick them up. And now they're my favorite sunglasses ever, and I'll never get rid of them. And it's just like, it just, the little things, you know, it's just the little things that have happened throughout this trip that have just, again, the tsunamis. And it's like those little things that nobody would have known about. Nobody would have even blinked an eye at. I didn't need to share this story. But I have to give glory to God in all these little things, because it has been all of these little things that have been just mind-blowing. And there are literally, I could tell you 15 to 20 of them that have been the exact same way this entire trip. And you would just drop your jaw.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been seamless. And it has been divine. And so I hope, and even in that, even in the sunglass story, that gives you hope that even in your darkest days, that God's going to even remember sunglasses for you. Mm. Like, he's got your back in everything. And he's watching out for you. Like, I mean, He not only made sure I had sunglasses, but I had wheels, we had places to stay, we had, like, literally every single thing that we needed was beyond provided for. And it was just, it was epic.
Well, and I think the last thing for me that I want to mention, and I've been kind of waiting to see how I want to spit this, because I kind of hinted at it with the video I did with Lynn.
Yeah.
But I think this is the best time to talk about it, because it was you that said it. And you had said something to me over the phone, and it was kind of in the period between you guys getting out here and a couple of days after things happening. And you said, you know, your relationship with Bradley is like Paul and Peter, or I mean, Paul and Timothy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so a lot of my comfort in this has been reading Paul's letters to Timothy. Everything from, And that doesn't just apply to me, right? That applies to you. It applies to the community, to his brothers, to his family, right? For a lot of reasons, you know. The first letter that Paul writes to Timothy is kind of giving Timothy instructions on how to carry about without Paul. How to take care of people, how to treat people, how to take care of widows, how to, you know, there's so much in that. And then the second letter, he breaks it down a little bit more and starts expressing a little bit more about how he feels about Timothy
himself,
what Timothy meant to him. And, you know, outside of, you know, because Timothy, if I remember correctly, was converted in one of Paul's trips around his, I forget what they call it, but like around his discipleship and his travels, I think he came back the second time and then met back up with Timothy, and then they proceeded to go until Paul was then put into prison.
And then Timothy was like his feet, his hands and his feet while he was in prison. Like he was
the vessel moving while Paul couldn't.
Yeah. He was his. Yeah.
That's been my comfort, because for probably about 2 years, I've been really like, man, what's my purpose in all this? Why did God lead me through that door to Brad? Why did I get sucked into this family the way that I got brought into this family? And you know, it was kind of one of those Job moments again. Like, you know, what's my purpose in life? What's my purpose here? What's my purpose with Brad? You know? You try to figure all that out and you ask those questions, and somebody like her makes it all make sense, you know?
And you did get sucked in.
I ain't mad about it.
I know. We ain't letting you go either.
But it's, that's in a nutshell, I think that's how we've dealt with it. God first, hope, the family, and then the amazing works that was the man of and is Bradley Reith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Holding on to the hope that we know where he is. We know exactly where he is. And we know that he died happy.
Mm-hmm. With a full heart.
Yeah. And that makes us happy. And we love what he started. We absolutely love what he started. And we know that it's a start. He didn't leave at the finish. Not at all. He left with a work to be continued. And we are going to continue that work. And in the continuance of that work, we have a clear purpose. And that clear purpose that we can share with you will absolutely have two goals that we can share now. And that is, number one, honoring God in everything that we do. Mm. And number two, honoring Brad's legacy. That we can share unapologetically and unequivocally. We know those things. How the rest is going to shake out, we're not 100% sure of it yet, but we're getting there. And you will see probably a lot of stuff out of stock right now, because we're trying to get everything back in stock, because we've been in our mourning phase. it definitely slowed us a lot. It slowed us down. And God love you all for supporting us by ordering. And we're trying to pick back up now. So, that's coming back in. So you'll see all the numbers going back up, thankfully, within the next few weeks. And that's been so encouraging to see. But it's beautiful that we get to continue it, and it's beautiful that we get to see what the next steps are and be together in it, because Brad wouldn't want it any other way.
Yep.
So I'm down to.
Yeah. What do you think of that real quick before we sign off of this?
Head out? I would say it's a classic Connecticut.
Okay.
I would prefer a spice cream over this.
Okay. A little sweeter.
Yeah, it's a little sweet. The spice cream is a little sweeter. This is smooth. It's just has a little spice for me.
Okay.
And I would prefer like a sweeter Connecticut, but it's not bad at all. I would say it's a classic Connecticut.
Okay.
It's smooth. It's a good Connecticut. It's just got a little spice to it.
Okay.
And almost like a little white pepper, if you will.
White pepper?
Yeah. Okay. Does that make sense? Yes, kind of like a little...
To me, that was like a white pepper with some light grassiness and a little bit airy was what that cigar was for me.
Yeah, it's kind of like dry.
Okay.
Yeah, if that makes sense. Yeah. Not like the cigar is dry, but it's like...
The finish.
Yeah, the finish is dry. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how I would describe this. But definitely classic Connecticut, good stick. 1 out of 10, I'd probably rate it around 7.5.
Okay.
Yeah. But like a spice cream, 9. If that helps, you know, the rating wise, Carolina couldn't touch it. Just saying. I mean, we don't have any more Carolinas, but just, you know.
That was a good
cigar.
For
those of you who still have those in your humidors.
Very good Connecticut.
Yeah, we need to try to get something like that back.
Yeah, this one for me was...
Which one is that, by the way?
It's called the La Flor de Yanclan. I don't know how the heck you say that. I'm just as bad as Brad was spelling and saying things. Carrie was correcting me like 10 times yesterday on stuff. She's like, hey, you need to put a comma there, and apostrophe there, and what are you doing?
Grammar but, Nazi.
Yeah, it's okay. I probably wouldn't pick it up again, personally.
Okay. It looks like a Habano.
But I would say, yeah, it's a very mild to medium, very earthy, lots of grassy note. Kind of want a little bit more from it, I guess, is what I could say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not something that you're going to write home about.
No, but it's a... I would imagine that there's people out there that would love it.
Is it a stick that you would send to an enemy?
I could think of something a lot worse than this. Send like that... send like the Punisher or something with the jalapenos on it.
No, because you actually liked those, didn't you?
I kind of did.
Right. No, that's not something you would send to an enemy. Yeah, no. Because those actually were good.
I might find some dirty Costa Ricans. Tobacco and cigars, not people.
Oh, Lord.
But yeah, guys, that's been me and Carrie Reith.
Yeah.
We
hope that this helped.
Yeah.
We hope this helped you guys.
If not, just get through it yourselves, but also understand what it's like from our perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. We love you guys and we thank you for being here with us and sticking it out and being a part of this community. We love you guys.
And I'm going to leave the outro music out of it and just say Brad's classic line, you know, we're out of here like last year. Peace.